Good morning.
Morning.
I have one item this morning, and it's a request for substantial completion of Sussex County Project 10-04, which is our solar grant project for the construction of our solar energy system at the Sussex EOC and airport location. This was a 120-day contract initially with a two-week time extension. This contract was with Flexera Incorporated. We did do a change order to increase size from 85 kW system to 108.9. We have been online since approximately July the 29th, but the handout that I have given you, we actually got the recording system in operation about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on August the 10th. The first page of the handout, you'll see the gray line across the top, and that is our expected production from the field, or calculated. And as you can see, the first 2 days, we greatly bypassed our anticipated production. Now, the 3 days following, we were a little lower. Those were overcast days, rainy days, which we'll take the rainy days right now. And so you can see that, you know, we're above or below. You know, only time will tell if this, you know, does meet our expectations. But this is a sample of some of the history and logging that we can do. The next page shows the days of August 13th and 14th, broken down into hourly increments. And you can actually follow the trend on the 13th that we started producing at right around 6 a.m. And you can actually see right around noon, I think we had a thunderstorm come through and had dropped our production down. So, and there are a lot of other reports that we can create. We actually are required to turn in a monthly report, I believe, from the Department of Energy. But we have full access to this monitoring system. It's also an alarming system. It will call me on my BlackBerry if we experience a problem. So I'm really satisfied with the system at this point. I'd like to, my hat's off to Flexera. Even though we got off to a little slow start, there was a lot of work that went on behind the scenes when we did the expansion of the system. So they were really a pleasure to work with.
Okay. Anything else? Well, thank you.
What is 814? Why is that so short? 814, yeah.
814.
Cloudy day.
Cloudy day, Sam.
That was Saturday, very cloudy day. I actually got an inch of rain at home, so cloudy conditions, these do not, they don't produce.
Looks like we better not get rid of our coal-fired furnaces, does it?
Better get some windmills.
Yeah.
Hey,
windmills.
Thank you very much for following through this project. And
was there some discussion about a sign that would indicate to the public how much savings there were?
There was some discussion about a sign on the site. What we settled with was to do a kiosk, basically, in the EOC lobby, basically a PC that I'll create more charts and graphs like this that'll be available, and also do a PowerPoint presentation that will, you know, give the explanation of, you know, how solar works, you know, how you compare your output, so on and so forth.
All right.
Is that where the $60,000 came in? We had on our agenda here a couple weeks ago. Is that what the $60,000 is about?
Yeah, it was originally a $50,000 number. We did renegotiate that, but it was still $30,000, which was deemed, you know, just a little bit excessive.
For a sign, we're talking about it. For what?
Just for a message board, LED message board.
Message, okay, yeah, no, we don't need a message board.
Which would display the information, but we also had a time restraint, too, that we have to have this job completed by September 30th to meet our grant deadline.
So if somebody wanted to find out what kind of production we're going to do, instead of a message board, they'll be able to go in the EOC, there'll be maybe a little, like you say, kiosk set up with a program that could push a button like you go to some of these interactive places, and they could show us what's happened.
Yes.
Good. We can do that in-house, right?
Mostly, yes.
Thank you, Steve, very much.
Yes, Steve, thanks.
Okay, I have a motion. Oh, I did have it. There we go. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that substantial completion be granted and any held detainees be released for Sussex County Project 10-04, Sussex County EOC Airport Solar Energy Installation Project, effective August 10th, 2011.
Entertain that motion.
Yes, I'll make that motion.
Mr. Cole, second. Mrs. Deaver, any question on the motion? I will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Steve, very much.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to move to old business. Mr. Bank?
Morning again.
Good morning.
We have two items of old business, both being conditional uses. Both these applications were in the same minor subdivision. In your packet, you should have found a memorandum from myself to David Baker. It made reference to the windmill and turbines. It also made reference to the conditional use number 1886 for Clarence Edgins, and also conditional use 1888 for Michael Henderson. If you go back, the recommendations for both these applications, I came come before you today to give you an update more than that you would take action. Attached to that packet is a copy of the commission's recommendations, the council's minutes of May 3rd of 2011, where we had the public hearings on both conditional use 1886 and 1888. There's also an attachment from July 29th, which is a reminder that the council did hold public hearing on May 3rd, and you gave 90 days to the applicant to work out with the other owners within that minor subdivision, either pros or cons on the restrictive covenants. And what happened, the two applicants went to an attorney and had the suggested the amendments to the restrictive covenants. And they went to the five owners within the subdivision, and the five owners have agreed, and attached to that memorandum is a cover letter for both the Clarence Edgins and the Michael Henderson conditional uses, and a copy of the amended restrictive covenants, which are now a record. And basically, in that restrictive covenant, they have agreed to terminate the restrictive covenant, which would have prohibited or would have a prohibition against commercial activities on the property. So therefore, I'm back before council to let you know that that's taken place. So all the five owners have agreed, it is recorded, an amended document on restrictive covenants to strike the reference to prohibiting commercial activities. And what I would suggest, if let you have questions, is that you could defer action on both applications and instruct the staff to prepare reasons and conditions of approval that could be used for your consideration at next meeting. Rather than go off the cuff and just come up with some recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They're addressing those two particular lots, not the whole subdivision. Is that right?
It's a five lot minor subdivision along a public road.
Right.
They all have 4 to 6 acres,
mm-hmm.
all five parcels. One of the applications was number one, and the other one was number five.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All five owners have agreed to amend the restrictive covenants.
On those lots.
On all five.
All of them.
To lift the restriction, because the restriction covered all five lots.
Well, they'll get something in.
Jane Patch with Tunnel Razor went to each one. They've all signed it. It's been recorded as a record. And basically, it just lifted that restriction.
Mm-hmm.
They would still have to
totally.
Go through the public hearing process
right.
if they chose to apply.
Okay.
So what you're recommending is we ask staff.
My recommendation to council would be if because typically your motions are in the positive, and then you vote on the motion to approve, to allow staff time to prepare the reasons in the positive and condition of approval if you so approved.
I don't know why not.
On each of the two applications. They would be similar because their applications are somewhat similar.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
One was for a boat repair and engine repair and storage, mm-hmm. and the other was for a HVAC operator.
Mm-hmm. Any one council have a problem with doing
no.
that?
I'll make a motion we defer and allow the planning and zoning director to come back with the applications, both applications with some suggested conditions.
And that can be for next meeting if you so desire.
But whenever you get it done.
We have a motion. Second, Mrs. Deaver.
No date.
Any question on the motion? No, we'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Lang. Grant request, Mrs. Webb.
Oh, dear.
Okay. First one today, Everlasting Hope Ministries.
You have some idea of what they and where they are.
They are located in Georgetown. They're
is that an existing grant? We do have a previous grant, rather?
Yes.
Who was that from?
Mr. Wilson. It's for their community anti-drug rally, open to the whole community.
And that was for how much money?
$750.
Okay. Mr. Wilson, do you care? Motion, Mr. Wilson, to grant $750 to account.
Seven. Yes. Second.
And a second, Mr. Phillips. Any question on the motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And the Rehoboth Cooperative Preschool.
Yes, I'd like to contribute $500 to the Rehoboth Cooperative Preschool. Been community-based, and they provide a high-quality learning institution for the youngest of students in the Rehoboth area.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second, yes. Mrs. Deaver, to grant $500 from Mr. Cole's account. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Introduction, proposed zoning ordinances. Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. President, there are two. The first one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for mini storage locker units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, Delaware, containing 1.996 acres more or less on behalf of Forrest Webster.
I'll introduce it.
Mrs. Deaver introduces it.
And the second is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a professional office to be located on certain parts of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, Delaware, containing 16,025 square feet more or less, filed on behalf of William A. and Kathleen M. Spurl Bell.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Phillips introduced it. Okay. And this will be brought before council. Mr. Guy is moving forward here. We have three. John Walsh. Subject is Article 3, 6-2-7.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. While there has been a deferment of that particular ordinance, I feel that still this is appropriate. First of all, the idea of adjusting fees for the Board of Adjustment is basically trying to put a Band-Aid on a continuing problem. I believe what should be done is as follows, and it should be included in the ordinance, either this or a future one. First of all, there should be a requirement that all new and current Board of Adjustment members be required to attend the University of Delaware public policy seminars on issues of Boards of Adjustment. This brings them up to date with court cases, court decisions, interpretations, new state laws, et cetera. This should be a condition of appointment or reappointment. To have people attending or being on the Board of Adjustment without any formal continuing education in the policies strikes me as being somewhat facetious, since teachers are required to have ongoing education. And a quasi-judicial body not being required to remain up to date on what is being done in courts that refer to them, I think is a serious mistake. Secondly, I believe that the staff should be able to review potential applicants to see if the applicants meet, at least on the face of it, prima facie, with the nod to Mr. Moore, that they do meet the criteria that are in state and county law as to what would be required to grant a variance. If they don't even come close, I don't think there should be any application even accepted that would solve the problem of the fee. Where there is, where that does seem to approach the criteria, then by all means, the Board of Adjustments should deal with it. And finally, impending Boards of Adjustment, not to mention everything else, we're now into our third year without a land use planner on staff in the county. I believe it was said to me some time ago that, we do have someone under contract, but since the county, generally speaking, likes to deal with its own people, dealing with a company that's based in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, on problems with land use in Sussex County, Delaware, does not seem to be a very wise move. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Is Michael Panko here? Right left, he won't talk about wind. Bobby Hemrick. Subject is request to county.
What?
Request to county.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
First, I'd like to welcome Mr. Lawson. We look forward to working with you. And I do agree with you. You've got big shoes to fill. Mr. Baker has been a wonderful administrator, and we're going to miss him. This is a follow-up on the Sierra Village request from Mr. John Molitor, president of Sierra Village. After a delay of several months, a response to this letter was finally issued. However, the request was not complied with. Mr. Molitor asked for a county attorney's interpretation of the county code pertaining to manufactured home communities. Instead, he got yet another interpretation from Lawrence Lank. While we thank Mr. Lank for his time and effort, Mr. Molitor specifically stated that he did not want that. We've already gotten Mr. Lank's opinion many times. Can we please get the information that was requested from a county attorney? Thank you.
Thank you. We now need to have a motion to go into executive session for potential pending litigation.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Deaver. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Wilson. Yes, motion carried. We'll now go to executive session.
All right.